The following program is produced and furnished in conjunction with Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings, who are entirely responsible for its content. Sorry, guys, you are on your own.
This is the Federal Football Report, a weekly wrap-up of all things burgundy and gold. The Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. Here are your hosts, Kevin Stanfield and Claude Jennings.
Welcome back to another edition of the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, if you're in the DMV. All over the world, Kevin, on federalnewsradio.com, because this is in high demand.
That's all over the place.
All over the world. We're on the web. Thank you guys so much for listening. You can follow us on Twitter at FFrep.
If you're in Tokyo, konnichiwa.
Exactly. Right. You can follow Kevin on Twitter at
If you're in Albania, it's Mimunjes.
Exactly. Right. Well, and you can also reach out to him on Twitter, no matter where you are, in whatever language.
That's right.
We don't discriminate here.
That's right. In Russian, it's dospodonya.
Yeah, everybody's welcome. It's an international show, an international festival of loves, the Federal Football Report. You can follow me on Twitter as well, at Claude J Radio. The Washington Redskins approved the 4-4, Kevin, on the season after going to Seattle and kicking some butt.
Unbelievable.
17-14 in an unbelievable win. You know what else is unbelievable? This might be the first time in federal football history of this entire show for what, the four seasons we've been doing this, that Lisa Wolf and Joel Oxley and the great folks here at Hubbard Broadcasting have been letting us do the show. Mm-hmm. This is the first show that I'm not going to have anything negative to say. I have nothing negative to say about this win.
I got a couple of things. I'm surprised.
I'm going to tell you why we should have nothing negative to say
why
about
that?
This
why
one.
Is that?
Here's
why. Is
why.
That? Okay, tell me why.
The team was on a two-game losing streak.
Right.
In danger of losing three in a row. Injuries all over the place.
Right.
I don't even know who's playing on the offensive line anymore. Like, I don't know these guys. Right. I don't know who they are.
Doesn't matter. Morgan Moses
played. They got some guy, Clemens, and I don't even know who else. No clue who those guys are. Defense all battered and bruised all over the place. Seattle, despite what we found out just recently, by the way, our buddy Seth Mason, Redskin fan in the DMV in studio with us, we were just researching this stat that seemed odd that the Redskins have won four times in Seattle since 2002. It turns out it's correct in the regular season, right?
Right.
Postseason losses, but in the regular season. But Seattle, really hard to win there.
Very hard.
Not an easy place to win.
Only seven teams have won there in the regular season.
Exactly.
Right, in all these years. and the Burgundy and Gold has four of those.
I'm trying to figure out why the world is so hard for everyone.
Yeah, what's wrong with you all? Right?
But here's the thing. Like, really hard place to win. All these injuries and all the things. And they come out with a win. In a typical game, by the way, that when I saw that it was 10-2, the first thing that came to my mind was, they're going to lose this game. Skins are going to lose this game 16-10. That's what's going to happen. and what happens? Seattle scores. Like, yep, here it is. And then next thing you know, 14-10. Okay, it's over. And then Kirk Cousins, back to pass, throws a bomb down to Dotson. He beats his guy by a step and a half. Dives for the ball, catches it on the one. By the way, the corner who was checking him just stood there. It was the safety who came over and tapped him to get him down on contact. That would have been a touchdown then. The guy gave up after the play.
He can't give up
until the whistle is blown, right? So nothing at all. But then Russell gets some time left. And so you figure, okay, well, then they just want to come down and score a touchdown. But they didn't do it. It wasn't a typical kind of, giving up in the second half or things falling apart in the second half. Nothing negative.
I'm not going to throw any water on the fire right now because I'm quite happy about it. As a matter of fact, I'm going to enhance a couple of things you were talking about. The injuries, I think there were like 22 injuries, 22 guys hurt or something. I don't know. The injury report was longer than the active roster, right? That was cool. So you have to credit the heart of all those guys who was out there, right?
Because
they could have very easily, a 5-hour ride to Seattle, right, against the Legion of Boom, the 12th man and all that, which I'm so happy all those guys lost, right?
Mm-hmm.
But you gotta remember how often we talked about the want to coach, and sometimes you just gotta want to more than the other guys. That's all they had left. That's all they had left was want to, right? It got to the point where they went to the Smithsonian before they left, got D'Angelo Hall.
Right, yeah, where'd they find him? I was watching him like, is that D'Angelo Hall back there about to return a kick or something?
Dusting him off, right? The little WD-40 on the joints and all that.
Right.
But I was so happy because when he caught that punt and took that hit and mm-hmm. held that ball. Athletes will tell you all the time, when they haven't played in a while, it's that first hit. Once right. they have that first contact, they feel like they're ready to play. When D'Angelo took that hit and got up, they had to be inspirational to those young guys on that team, right? You know, they're sure. okay, D-Hall's here to play. How can I do anything less?
Right, right. And I mean, and you saw a ton of, like you talked about D'Angelo Hall, but you also saw a ton of players. You can name any one of the guys who filled on the offensive line, even down to some of the running backs being back there returning kicks. I mean, Chris Thompson, you saw him back there. I mean, guys were just doing what they needed to do to stay in this game and to win this game, really.
Yeah, I'm still not going to go negative yet. We're still going to talk positive.
Well, I'm not going to go negative at all.
I'm going to go negative. No, that's not negativity, man. That's like an in-depth analysis that we're going to provide. Yeah. And you got to tip your hat to Greg Minuski and the defensive scheme that he laid out, right? I mean, there's two things, right? You can lay out all the schemes you want, but unless the guys execute, that's not going to happen.
Right.
These guys did some 1-2-2 because the pressure they had on Russell Wilson, he was not anticipated. That was obvious right now. It was only Russell Wilson's abilities that let him escape some of those things, right? Because even when he got to the edge, he barely got to the edge. I mean, what would have been normally a Russell Wilson 15-20-yard game?
Mm-hmm.
It was 5 yards.
Right.
And there was one beautiful one where Zach Brown just called him before he got to the end zone. And they threw the flag immediately because it was Russell Wilson. But then when they went to the replay, it was obvious that he was like 3 or 4 yards inbound.
Yeah.
And it was a great hit, a great play.
Exactly.
He said, look, if you're going to run like this and you're out here, you're going to get hit. Don't use the sideline as like the Red Cross
or
something.
Well, because I mean, what happens is you get guys who are running, they're headed out of bounds, and then defensive players will let up, and then they kind of stay in bounds for the next 4 to 5 yards and pick up a first down, as opposed to guys trying to hit them out of bounds because they don't want to get a flag.
Yeah.
And so that was definitely a heads up play. By the way, Zach Brown, I mean, has there been a better player for the defense than this guy?
Yeah, he's had one bad game. I believe it was against the was it the Eagles? He had a bad game a couple of games back, but I heard he was battling a flu bug back then. But yeah, his speed and his nose for the ball, this is something that's been, he's sort of like London Fletcher was for this team back in the day, right? Mm-hmm. You know, somebody had a nose for the ball, always make contact, leads the team in tackles. And just that effort, that want-to yesterday, that show. But it spread through the whole defense yesterday. I mean, the pressure that the defensive line got on Wilson made the linebackers look better. Got two picks off Wilson, right? Mm-hmm. You know, it shows you that an average corner can look good when you get pressure up
front. Speaking of the linebackers, Will Compton.
We've always been a big Will Compton fan
played
here.
Great. Hey. And by the way, someone else who played great, and I've been waiting for almost 2 years to say his name. We haven't mentioned it at all on the show. Anthony Lanier.
Oh, Anthony Lanier was
number 72. I'm like, wait, what 72 is that?
Yeah, where did they get?
That looked like the other 72 from years back.
You know, also, we've also said that Jay Gruden will not play certain guys unless he's absolutely forced to.
Yeah, you've brought that up a million times.
Right, and that's what happened. Like, you know, stick with the defense for a minute. Like, D-Hall started, hasn't played in a year. played all except for one snap.
Right.
And was key in the last play of the game. Broke up the Hail Mary, right? You know,
which it almost looked good. I was like, uh-oh. It looked like it was going to be trouble.
It was some serious one-two. A key play late in the game on the sweep where Thomas Rawls was sweeping right, and they got serious. I believe it was Lanier got serious penetration.
Yes.
And he got through Lanier and got through Swearingen. And the only one left between him and the first down was Josh Norman. And Josh Norman went MMA on him and did the arm bar and say, either you going down or your arm's going to get broken, right? It wasn't a dirt. That's all he could do is grab his arm and try to leverage that. It was great. It was want to.
Well,
it
see,
was
that's
sheer
the
will.
Thing. It's like, you know, with all the injuries on offense, what you really needed was a stellar defensive performance, and that's really what you got. And by the way, the defense has been playing great for the most part all year. And they needed the defense to step up this game, and that's exactly what the defense did. And again, Anthony Lanier. You know, hats off to him, right? Again, we talked about Quentin Dunbar. Had a really good game, real solid game. Brashad Breeland, good game. Kendall Fuller. I mean, these guys
leads the team in picks.
Exactly. playing football, needing a win, and we talk about this all the time. You know, you can scheme, you can get fancy, you can do whatever you want to do, but when you get down to it and players are hurt and you're going through the grind of a season, that's when it's just straight up football. That's when it's beat the man in front of you. Somebody's got to make a play, and the defense made plays.
That's why you can't believe the hype in what you hear on so many of these shows in this area. Like, I love you guys, and you know, I know you're listening, and you know who I'm talking about. You know, for so long that you've heard, like, we just need more players here. We don't have enough players. It's this fault. It's not the coach's fault. We don't have enough players. We don't have enough players. You know, look, with the pressure those guys were putting on, you and I could have covered those guys yesterday, right? And I got, like I said, I got to give my hat, tip my hat to Greg Malinowski, because he had a very interesting scheme where he sacrificed the guy in the secondary in coverage so he could have a spy on Russell Wilson, right? Mm-hmm. Russell Wilson anticipated being able to take off the run sometimes. He just didn't have anywhere to go. That's why he was throwing up those shot put looking passes,
yeah,
which amazingly completed a lot.
He just threw a lot of them just up.
Just threw them. And that's how Will cut. But that was a great scheme by Malinowski, because he got those guys to believe in it, right? They could have all hung their heads and said, yeah, we're hurt. We're going to Seattle, Legion of Boom, this and that. They could have said, well, let's just like survive and go home. But they said, no, we are football players, right? Like, mm-hmm. you know, like the general manager, late. Great departed general manager used to say, we're football players, right?
Right.
So let's play some football, right?
You know, what they did.
I was telling our guests, you know, this was the way football was when I grew up, right? 17-14 was a great game, right? Mm-hmm. We had, like you say, we had two teams drop 50 yesterday, right? What is that, man? That's Nintendo stuff, right?
And one of them were the Rams dropping 50-something on the Giants.
Right,
and there's talk about Eli Manning being benched, but we'll talk about that a little bit later
that's
in the third segment.
What we saw yesterday was a football game.
Yeah,
definitely a football game.
And so you take a look, Kirk Cousins yesterday, 21-31 for 247 yards, no picks. That was very important, although giving up that safety didn't help, you know what I mean, to the effort. But solid game from Kurt. 14 carries for Rob Kelly. We like to see them run the ball a little bit more. 14's fine. I think that in a game like that, you still got to run a little bit more, especially when you're up 10-2 late in the game.
Seattle has a great defense.
Right. absolutely.
Because they did exactly what they had to do. They say, oh, Chris Thompson's your favorite receiver? Let's see how you do without him.
Right?
Yes, and mad props. We didn't talk too much about the offense. Mad props to Vernon Davis.
Another big game from Vernon Davis. Six catches, 72 yards. And it looks like, Dotson is taking over that number one role from Terrell Pryor, which isn't surprising because 3 years ago he was playing quarterback. And he's not going to be your number one option on offense.
But you know what? That's another thing. If you listen to a lot of our friends in the industry, they've been dogging Dotson, and he can't do anything unless you throw him the ball, right? You know, he had a drop against the Cowboys in the rain, but they didn't throw him to him until, like, the fourth quarter, right? His hand's not in the game. This is still a young kid.
This is still basically his rookie season, by the way, because he didn't play at all last year.
Throw him the ball. I've seen good results.
So, well, let's talk about that. Okay, so he has that drop against Dallas in the rain. Sure. Okay, fine. I forget the game it was, but what game was that where he had the game-winning touchdown?
That was the Kansas City game.
Kansas City game. Game-winning touchdown. No. He dropped that one.
Oh, well, he hit the ground.
But there was a game-winning, a game-winning touchdown
At one point, he had like eight receptions and four of them for touchdowns.
Yeah, I'm trying to remember. It was a deep pass.
It wasn't a game-winner, but he had a deep pass against the Raiders.
Right. Jump ball, deep pass, he comes down with it, right?
Yeah, yeah.
Then you've got the one against Kansas City, he doesn't come down with it. You've got the one against Dallas. I don't think that would have been like necessarily a game win or anything, but he didn't come down with it. And then he's got one yesterday that saves the game. 50-50.
Right.
A lot of teams live with that. Like, they have a guy just to keep the defense honest, just to stretch things down the field where they want a guy, had a guy last year, Deshaun Jackson would do it, but you have a guy who you can stretch the field with, spread the defense out, and throw the ball. Take a chance.
Talking about 1-2, that one play that looked weird that Pryor went up almost like it was for him and they brought his hands back down, the one where Richard Sherman was all over Dotson. And Dotson caught the ball anyway.
Right.
They complained to the ref, right? That was 1-2 right there.
Exactly.
You just gave up and say, hey, I'm getting, you know, he realized, I'm not going to get this call. So I might as well catch the ball, right? You know?
Right.
So, yeah, enough about dogging Dotson, right? certain guys like to go deep, right? You know, Randy Moss didn't make his living catching passes. I'm not comparing the guy to Randy Moss. Well, I guess I am, really. Yeah. He didn't, you know, running 2 yard slant patterns.
In theory, he is. Just throw it up. Throw the ball, you know,
right? Yeah.
As RG3 said last week, coach to the player's strength.
Oh, man, yeah. And for some reason, people didn't seem to like that. I don't know. But we digress. We digress.
Because anyway, it's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio. He's Kevin Stanfield. I'm Claude Jennings. The Redskins improved to 4-4 in the season after a 17-14 win. We're going to analyze this 4-4 record in the next segment.
But I'm still waiting, man.
The most anticipated segment of fake news or not.
Yeah, but you know, I've been holding back now, but you know, we got to talk about some negatives now. We have to talk
negatives.
Okay, all right.
I'm not going
to
do it.
I must do this to balance this equation, right, because we are a deeply analytical show. First negative was the play calling. Why, knowing you're playing against Seattle and they got 8 in the box, why would you call a pass play when you're on your own 1 yard line?
Why would you do that? Especially knowing when you don't have any healthy offensive linemen.
Knowing you got 4 guys who hadn't played, didn't play last week. Why would you do that, right? I didn't understand that. Number two, knowing that you called that, why aren't you ready to get rid of the ball as soon as
you get it, right?
You know, right? And they survived that. I'm quite happy about that.
Don't you kind of call out of that, right? I mean, you just kind of audible at the line.
Like,
why didn't Kirk just change the play?
Well, because Kirk is Kirk, and, Kirk is Kirk. Kirk played a decent game. So I believe it was this sheer desperation that changed Kirk's game. Because I heard, it was kind of weird, because I heard the coach say last week, Kirk's got to learn that guys aren't going to be wide open all the time.
Right.
You know. Sometimes he just got to throw the ball, you know, and that's Kirk. That's why Chris Thompson has so many passes. Kirk checks off option one, checks off two,
and goes down to the guy.
He says sometimes you just got to wait and take a chance, right? Wing it down there. They said it, you know, laughing and joking because we must not want to hurt Kirk's feelings or whatever, right?
He's very cautious about not hurting that quarterback.
But if you notice, after Kirk got sacked 6 times, but he got hit 26 times, but after a few of those hits, Kirk wasn't so anxious and they took away this check down. They're still Seattle's great defense. They took away the check. They took away Chris Thompson because they got a good, fast linebacking core, right? They can do that. And so Kirk had to throw the ball to guys who was covered. He had to throw the ball. And the guys responded. Vernon Davis made great catches. Ryan Grapp made great catches, right? Where they had to extend their body knowing they were going to get hit and held on to the ball. It wasn't like he was sitting in between the numbers. He was throwing it in the general vicinity.
Right.
And they had to pull the ball out the air.
Well, and that's the thing. When you have guys like Terrell Pryor, super tall, he's a really good athlete, and you got Dotson, you know, make them make a play.
That's absolutely right.
If they're not wide open, throw it, like you said, throw it in the vicinity and make your athletes make a play.
Another negative. Who's the running back on this team? Who is the man?
We don't know.
That's the man. And then that heard the coach complaining, this guy got 11 carries, another guy got 3 carries, we got to get these guys more carries. Well, you're calling the play.
Right. Well, obviously, he listens to the show because we've been saying that for the last 2 years. Right. And if he agrees that they need to get more carries, then why don't he get them more carries?
Mixing some man and some zone, which is good. Some two man and some single high man and some lurking. Did a good job of mixing up the coverages.
I don't think everybody heard the coach right there.
Mixing some man and some zone, which is good. Some two man and some single high man and some
did
lurking.
You
did a good job of mixing up the coverages.
Mixing up some coverage. Yeah, and that's the thing. It's like if you call the plays.
Yeah.
If you think they need to run the ball more, then why don't you call more running plays?
That's right. And I really think that they should decide who their horse is. If it's going to be Piran, put him in. Let him be the man. If it's going to be Fat Rob, I heard Doc Walker, big friend of ours, right? I heard him say something interesting yesterday in the pregame show. He said, certain guys just cannot play hurt.
Right.
You know, certain guys will come give it, you know, go back to, you know, I hate to mention Cowboys on this show, but you know how much we hate to mention the Cowboys. But back in the day when Emmitt Smith ran a playoff game, had 100 plus yards against the Giants with a separated shoulder, right?
You know,
some guys can step it up, and some guys just can't perform hurt.
Absolutely.
Now, you know, if you can't perform hurt, I'm going to go to the extent that Doc said, like, cut the guy's leg off or whatever, right?
Yeah, but, Doc, you know, kind of goes extreme.
If you can't play hurt, just bring the next man up. You know, somebody has to win the job. And know it's my job. Know that they're going to get the feel of the game. Know if the ball is going to be handed off 20 times, I'm the one that's going to get 18 of those carries. I hate seeing a guy bust an 8-yard run, and all of a sudden he's running off to the sideline, right?
Right, you know? Right.
So You know, that's about it for the negatives as far as I'm concerned, because I think that they hung in there. I liked the idea of the game. They sort of took the air out of the ball and were going to run it, and they were patient. I don't like the shotgun on third and one, but they did convert a couple of times, right?
But I always get a little nervous when you see shotgun on third and one.
And then when the ball was on the goal line after the Dotson catch, I said, oh, God, they're going to go shotgun.
Right. No, absolutely. And it's exactly what I thought. With that just being the only negative for the game, that's not bad. That wasn't a bad section of the negative.
We won. You can't. What can I say?
The question is, did Seattle send that kicker Walsh on the plane to Washington with the Redskins? He missed three field goals.
Three. All of them were left. And they were going off and saying, well, he's only missed one in the past, 2 years, whatever, right? And it was interesting. If
he missed a 49-yard. I'm trying to find the other
one. There were three from under 50 yards. They missed the last. Gosh. And interestingly, Seattle made it to the second round of the playoffs. Was it last year, 2 years ago? That same guy was kicking for the Vikings and missed the chip shot.
Right. Because the Vikings had Seattle dead to rights 2 years ago.
Right.
Dead to rights, and he missed the field goal.
Yes, he did.
So what did Seattle do? They pick him up.
Just the NFL.
Even though you beat a team in the playoffs because he missed a kick.
Man, just think what those other guys were like on the team.
They must have been pretty bad. Really bad. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 17-14. The Redskins go to Seattle to pick up a win. We said it was must win, and that's exactly what they did. Again, America's favorite segment coming up after the break, fake news or not. That's coming up next on the Federal Football Report.
Join Federal News Radio Executive Editor Jason Miller for Ask the CIO, Thursdays at 10 and 2. Hear from your agency's top tech leaders on how they're using technology to change the way you meet your agency's mission. Ask the CIO is a must-listen for anyone who needs to know federal technology policy, implementation, and planning. Ask the CIO, Thursdays at 10 and 2 on federalnewsradio.com and 1500 AM. Download at any time at federalnewsradio.com. Search Ask CIO.
Is that a faucet running?
That's not a faucet. That's a river rushing through the forest. Forest rivers provide over 100 million people with clean water to drink.
What? I can't hear you because of the vacuum.
That's not a vacuum. That's the trees in the forest cleaning up the air we breathe.
I didn't know the trees were so amazing.
Yep, and the forest gives us shade, trees to climb.
That's awesome. Let's go explore some more.
Visit the forest today and enjoy all it does just for you. To learn more about the forest and find one near you, go to discovertheforest.org. Brought to you by the U.S. Forest Service and the Ad Council.
So, I'm a dog, and I just got adopted by this new human guy, and I'm starting to wonder how he got along without me. I mean, okay, something as simple as walking around the block. He's got this leash thing, and he puts me on one end and him on the other, and I'm just taking him around. I think he's afraid of getting lost. Without that leash and me guiding him along, I don't think he'd find his way back home. But it's kind of cute.
A person is the best thing to happen to a shelter pet. Be that person. Adopt. Brought to you by the Ad Council and the ShelterPetProject.org.
Adopt US Kids presents Multiple Choice Parenting.
Your daughter just had her first breakup. Do you A, put yourself in her shoes?
How could he do this to you? And for Sheila, she has split ends.
B, console her.
Oh, sweetie, this is going to happen a lot. 4, maybe 5 more times before you get married.
C, take charge.
Got to get this all straightened out. Keep a little talking to man, mano a mano.
Hey, Steve! It's now a good time?
No? Okay, no problem. Bye.
Or D, help her find a new boyfriend.
I know a great place to meet boys. The internet. Nice, single boys. Never mind. How about some ice cream?
As a parent, there are no perfect answers. But you don't have to be perfect to be a perfect parent. Thousands of teens in foster care will love you just the same.
For more information on how you can adopt, visit AdoptUSKids.org. A public service announcement from the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services, AdoptUSKids, and the Ad Council.
The FBI's mission to protect the American people and uphold the Constitution of the United States is guided through its Integrity and Compliance Office, which marks its 10th anniversary this year. The FBI was among the first and remains among the few federal agencies with a formal compliance program. Assistant Director Patrick Kelly says it demonstrates the FBI's commitment to the rule of law.
We have to demonstrate to the public that while we enforce the law, we're not above the law. We hold ourselves accountable more than that. average citizen does.
Kelly says it's crucial to cultivate a culture in which our institutional core values such as compassion, respect, and diversity direct the FBI family to carry out the Bureau's vision with a moral compass.
We know right from wrong. We work hard to establish and inculcate the core values in all employees, and we drive together in a direction that will make us proud and citizens proud.
With FBI This Week, I'm Molly Halpern of the Bureau.
Good federal luck news getting anything radio. Negative out of me today, folks.
It's the Federal Source for Federal News Radio.
Now. 1500 AM on the web at federalnewsradio.com. The Redskins approved a 4-4 on the season after a road win in Seattle, 17-14, in very dramatic fashion, by the way.
Yeah, they're at their other home stadium. I mean, we are from Washington, right? That's our other home stadium.
And apparently we have no problem winning there in the regular season.
That's
I didn't
right.
know that that was
That's
a thing
right.
until
it's
it became
like
a thing.
To that 12th man.
Exactly.
Take
12th man.
Flag and go back.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah.
Redskins are the 12th man. There. Beating the Seattle Seahawks again with much help from the kicker. Walsh missing three field goals, but yeah. That's fine. That's football.
Kicker and the Seattle offensive line because they were penalized. It was like.
It's not as if Seattle hasn't seen him miss a kick before.
Right.
So they know
he can miss one. Yeah.
Of doing that.
But we're quite grateful, right?
Exactly. You know? Yeah, well, you know, November is the month of thanks. And so we're thankful for that. And America and the world is thankful for this next segment coming up on the Federal Football Report. Kevin, you know what time it is.
It's time for fake news or not.
Exactly right. Fake news or not, I asked Kevin three questions coming out of Redskins Park. He tells me whether it's fake news or whether it's not.
I'm ready.
Not. Yeah, so here's question number one. And as a matter of fact, we've got Seth Mason in here, a buddy of mine, friend of the show, Redskin fan. So, Seth, we'll get you in on this game, too. Is that okay?
Cool.
So, yeah, I'll pose three questions. We'll get Kevin's take on it first, whether it's fake news or whether it's true, and then we'll get Seth as well. First question, at 4-4 at the halfway mark, things are looking good for the Redskins. Fake news or not?
That's actually news. It's going to be very interesting. And the NFL should drop down its corporate knees and thank God for teams like the Burgundy and Gold, because at the second half of the season, we're going to have some interesting wild card races, right? Mm-hmm. You know, because it looks like we're going to face a division winner next week and a division champion so far, next week in Minnesota without Aaron Rodgers in the NFC Central, right? It looks like we've already played one of the possible NFC West possible wild card contenders in the Rams and also Seattle. So the division might be a little bit out of reach. The Eagles are playing well, but you know we're right in the midst of it as far as the wild card goes. So. That's news. That's right, what happened. Right. Right in this, it's destiny is in our own hands.
There you go. Seth, right. 4-4. Is it fake news or not that things are looking good?
I think it's news. Okay. I'm cautiously optimistic. It's still the Redskins. It's 4-4.
Right. Yeah.
We always win the games we're not expected to. So I expected to win last week. So I think with all the injuries and everything, I feel like it might catch up with us towards the end of the year, but I'm just going to ride it as long as I can.
Right. Well, that's the thing, though. I mean, you know, like Seth said, I mean, with all the injuries, you would hope with maybe an easier schedule, in the next segment we'll take a look at the schedule, that as things get what is projected to be a little easier at the end of the year, that once guys are back healthy, especially on the offensive line, that maybe you can reel off a couple of wins and try to really make a playoff push. Question number two, in fake news or not, even though it's just the eighth week, 4-4, it's still not too premature to start looking at the playoff picture and where the Redskins fit in. Fake news or not?
No, that's news. That's news. Like I just said.
I told you it's going to be a positive show. We haven't even had any fake news yet. We always have fake news.
I know what's coming. I know what's coming. The fake news is coming. There's some fake news out there. But you got to see, they've pretty much made the bed they're sleeping in, right? Because of the lackluster performances against the Eagles and against the Cowboys and the shoulda, coulda had one against the Chiefs, right? Mm-hmm. You know, we had them, all those games, even though they might have been, it turned out to be a little bit lopsided, very winnable.
Right,
all those
right.
games were very winnable. So now they can control their destiny because of, like I said, the wins against the Rams and against the Seahawks. They pretty much have to win out. I mean, we got eight games left. 6-2 minimum. Mm-hmm. Minimum. And you always got the Giants who you just can't trust the Giants. They might come here as, you know, we just write that off as a win, and the Giants mess around and act like the Giants on this right here. So it's winnable. It's up to us. It's up to those guys. It's up to those guys in Asheboro now.
All right, here we go. Seth, is it
I'm
fake
say
news
fake
or not?
News, man.
Okay, so it's too premature to start looking at it.
It's too premature to look at the playoffs with the injuries. And who's to say when we do get back healthy, we'll be better?
Right.
You know
what
I mean? I feel like the Redskins always fizzle at the end, and I feel like they'll be satisfied with, oh, we almost made the playoffs. We made a good run. We had a lot of injuries this year. Mm-hmm. And we just settle. And I feel like we'll settle for almost making the playoffs this year.
Okay.
Yeah, so but you know what? They've been sort of setting that up already, right? You know, some of the injuries. Oh, we can't dress these guys. And there's one guy out there, got his legs like grapefruits and all that.
Already they're making excuses just in case.
And they can't. That's why I got to reference my boy, you know, RG3. They were like 3-6. And they said, the coach said, well, we got to play for next year. He said, wait a minute. The season's not over yet.
Still
that. That wasn't motivation. He gave up. He gave up that season. He's like, we're putting we're putting in the backups.
We see
who's going to be here next year.
He gave up. And the quarterback, the one they call arrogant and belligerent, right? He stood up and pressed and said, no, we're not quitting. This team is not going to quit, right? You know, people, they forget that. But we remember.
We remember. All right, third and final question, fake news or not. So I've been hearing rumors all day long about contract situations with Andy Dalton. And that the way the money is and his performance in Cincinnati, that he may not be brought back. Is it fake news or not that Kirk Cousins is worried about that?
This is so fake. And not only is it fake, you can tie this in with the fake news report that you've heard that this last game has proven to the world that Kirk Cousins is Superman, right? You know, that's fake. It's so fake. It was one game.
He's Captain Kirk.
He believes in him and everything's perfect. It did show me that once you hit him in the mouth, he'll hang in there, right? Mm-hmm. Or throw it up for grabs, right? At least he threw it up for grabs. At least he did that, right? You know. But who wants Andy Dalton? What has Andy Dalton done? Right? Andy Dalton is like an older, redder-headed version of Kirk Cousins, right? You know? Great regular season. You got A.J. Green to throw to, right? But in the playoffs, he just...
Yeah, he goes nowhere.
How can you disappear with your hair that red, right? You know? Yeah, he glows in the dark. His head is so red, right? You know, but no, don't believe that.
Well, that's Gruden's boy. I understand. Long term. Is it fake, Seth? Is it fake news?
I think it's fake news for a different reason.
Okay,
because Kurt is already gone.
I mean, you
see how he's playing. Mm-hmm. Look at the stat sheet: 2,100 yards, 13 touchdowns. He's not going to get those interceptions John Gruden wants him to get because he's got to look good when he goes on the market. He's done. He got, what, $19 million from us last year, $21 this year. He's gone.
Oh. What's interesting, too, is that people put it in this box where, you know, Kurtz either was going to go to the Rams or to the 49ers simply because of the coaches that are there now. And the 49ers get Garoppolo, who, by the way, is just a one-year deal. So Garoppolo could be gone for the 49ers in the offseason as well. But, like, there are other teams in the league who needs quarterbacks. Did anybody see the atrocious quarterback play all throughout the league yesterday? It was horrible.
First of all,
there aren't a lot of good quarterbacks in the league.
No, they're not. But there aren't a lot of good coaches and organizations too. What in the world would possess a team to start Tom Savage over Deshaun Watson?
Yeah, this is exactly. It's like, what in the world is going on?
And then after they make that decision, decide... We got to bench this guy.
Why do you ever have to fight for his position?
Why? Why? After you lose
a
rookie?
We've got to get somebody in there from Houston to come on the show and talk about this.
Oh, yeah,
because
we can do that.
Sounds like something that happened up here to a quarterback similar to Deshaun Watson a few years ago.
Eerily similar.
I wonder if he's arrogant as well.
Oh, yeah, probably, man. Arrogant and uppity, right? Yeah. But you're right. The quarterback, I mean, a decent quarterback, man, is at a premium, man. They got a quarterback that in New York, man, has won two Super Bowls.
It's so interesting. I mean, I'm looking around, and you mean to tell me that, you know, a Kirk Cousins or even a Colin Kaepernick couldn't play in New York or couldn't play, you know, in San Francisco or couldn't, I mean,
Cleveland.
Honestly, just some really bad quarterback play. Yeah.
But that's why I think this is fake news as well, right? Because you got to look at how many of those teams you can honestly look at and say, we're only a Kirk Cousins away from going to the next level, right? You know, who can you say?
Gosh,
that?
if we only had Captain Kirk.
If we only had Captain Kirk, man. You know,
That's all I need now. So that's just another great addiction. It is something that everyone that Americans because addicted to it. It's a great addition of fake news or not here on the Federal Football Report. Kevin Dia with Kevin Stanfield, Claude Jennings. You can follow us FF Rep on Twitter. Also Stanfield Kevin on Twitter, Claude J Radio on Twitter.
Or not.
Or you cannot follow us. It's probably up to you. So we've got Seth Mason, Redskin fan from the DMV in studio with us because we love interaction with fans. But we only bring our friends in the studio. Everyone else will have to call in.
That's right. That's true.
You can't trust everybody.
No, that's true. That's true.
We appreciate you listening to the show. But Seth, we want to get a fan's perspective, man. Halfway point, the team's 4-4. How are things looking? What's the good, the bad, and the ugly so far from the season? From your perspective,
I say the good is the defense.
Yeah.
I mean, I'm shocked that even with injuries, they're plugging guys in and we're still sticking to the scheme. I would say the bad is the running backs. We don't have a running back. Yeah. Let's just be honest. Like, period. Like, P-Ron, Fat Rob. I mean,
you can't trust P-Ron with the ball.
No.
You can't trust him with the ball.
And Fat Rob is that running back. He'll make the first man miss, but then what?
Right. Yeah.
It's
yeah,
2 yards in a cloud of dust.
Yeah.
And I said, the ugly, the play calling. I mean, just throw it over the top, man. It's like, come on. I know they're trying to blame it on Kirk, but you call the plays. Jay Gruden calls the plays.
Mm-hmm.
And Dobson, he didn't even let on the field like the first half of the year. And they're saying Doc Walker's talking about he's the best player in practice and all the guys saying he's the best player in practice. And he had 5 targets last game? Just throw him the ball, man.
Yeah.
He did it with Deshaun.
Yeah, get the ball in his hands, however, whether it's a screen, whether it's, you know.
I love the analogy, man, when Randy Whitman was here, man, Otto Porter couldn't get on the court, right, until Paul Pierce got hurt going through that playoff run.
Right.
And he had to play Porter.
Yeah.
Porter excelled, right, you know. And all of a sudden, he's a max contract guy. Guys were bidding for his services, right. Sometimes the coach should just get a thing in his head against a player, and he's not one of his guys,
right,
you know.
Right,
so,
no, absolutely.
Doesn't practice good.
And you talk about not being somebody's guy. You know, when I take a look at it, you know, we're in the 8th week. You know, we're literally, if the Redskins do not make the playoffs, we're 8 weeks away from what do we do about Kirk talk. Like, that's going to be the next discussion. We're literally 8 weeks away from that if the team doesn't make the playoffs. Oh. Where do we stand now with this?
Oh, man, that's so interesting just listening to the pundits today and then there. But I'm interested in what you have to say about it.
They love him now. I mean,
yeah. I think he's gone. I think his mind is made up.
Do you think it's the Redskins letting him go, or do you think it's him wanting to leave?
I think him wanting to leave, and nobody's going to give a first-round draft pick or 2 first-round they're going to have to give if the Redskins put him on the franchise tag again.
Right,
nobody's going to give that up for Kirk Cousins. Yeah, I think he's gone. I think he's going to smile and say all the right things because he's a good guy. But I think he's gone after this year. He's collected about $40 million from us.
Yeah.
He's going to bid us farewell.
Guy. Mm-hmm. Poor guys who's gonna be sad.
Feel so bad for him.
Yeah, feel bad for Kirk. You know, pat him on the back. Kirk, yeah, take your $40 million, you know. Oh, maybe it's $35 million for next year, right? So yeah. Take 10 more, right? Yeah. Take 50. Make it even 50, right? You know. That's the thing though. But the word was out that he was gonna go play for Shanahan in San Francisco, then the Garoppolo move. Oh, they was gonna go with McVay to the Ram, but Jared Goff said, wait a minute,
we already got
a quarterback in LA, thank you very much. That's right, you know.
Exactly. So halfway mark, Kevin. We got Seth's good, bad, and the ugly. What are yours?
Listen, I'm going to go bad. I'm going to go backwards.
Okay.
The ugly is we're right where we always are this time this year.
Okay.
Right? You know, maybe a game higher, maybe a game
lower.
Hoping
for something to happen.
And it's always dependent on somebody else, you know. And what's ugly is we have not seen any improvement in the past 3 years. Gruden's been here for 3 years, I believe.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
And we're just where we were when he started, right? You know, you can blame the injuries, right? But in that 3 years, your organization was supposed to grow, so you had the depth to deal with it, right? You know, not just shopping, right? And, you know, we thought that we had that with the general manager that they let go. And, you know, some of these are still his players.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, it might get a little worse before it gets better. But that's the ugly of it, right?
Right.
The bad, I think that the running back position has been too devalued, not only in this league, but especially in this team, right? Because it's important in the outdoor stadium in the NFC East when the weather's going to get like it did against Dallas on a regular basis. Hello, ladies and gentlemen. In the fall,
Philadelphia,
it rains.
New York, Washington.
It rains in the fall. And sometimes it snows. Sometimes. It gets cold. And ever since they got that bubble, ever since they start practicing in that bubble. You know, they practice it like they're playing indoors, right? They're not an element team, right?
Want to stay out the element.
And the good, I think that because of the depth that they have now and because of the need to play the younger players, we're developing depth. I believe that guys with an opportunity to play, we can see if they can play. And these guys all seem like they can play a little bit, right? There's no guy, I haven't seen a guy in the past couple of weeks on the field, you say, this guy just cannot play. Right, I have not seen that. And
even from guys who that was being said about last year, like Rashad Breeland.
Like Breeland and Fuller. And, you know, it's the guys, Will Compton. Well, Compton lost his job.
Came back yesterday,
got a pick, had his hands on like five more, but it would have been like a circus catch, but played.
Saying no Reed Dowdy's on the teams this year.
That's right. No Reed Dowdy's. No Reed's, right? You know? And so I like Dotson. I like what he's shown. We just got to find a way to incorporate what he does best. So, yes, there are some positives. There's a lot of positives. They're a very enjoyable team to watch. You got to root for them.
You have to.
You don't dislike any of these guys, right?
No, you can't. My good, bad, ugly for halfway through the season, I'll do the regular good, bad.
Oh, yeah, okay.
Reverse skate back to the way. I agree with Seth. The good is the defense.
Yeah.
The defense is exceeding expectations on all levels and playing really, really well despite injuries. You know what I mean? The bad, I would say the running back situation. I don't think the running back situation is the ugly. I think it's just the bad. And the reason I say that is because I don't feel like the coaching staff is giving Rob Kelly a chance to show that he can be that 20 carries a game back. I think he can do it, but you got to run the ball. You can't. I mean, sure, he had 14 carries this past game, but you can't have games where he has five carries. You can't have. Now, he was hurt for a few games this season, but even back last year, even games when he's fully healthy this year, you give him the ball seven times. He's the back who needs the ball 18 to 24 times to really make an impact on something. And again, we talked about this before. When your offensive line, these big guys want to run the ball. They want to run block, and especially in a situation where you're kind of injured and it's going to be tough to pass protect, you got to run the ball. So that's the bad is the running back situation, but not because I think Kelly's bad. It's because the whole mindset towards running the ball to me is bad from Gruden. Even though he seems to think that the answer is to run the ball more, but according to him, he said we just got to run the ball more.
It's like, all right,
well then, give permission, and then do it.
And he calls the play.
Exactly.
Who else is in the equation, right? Should run the ball more a little bit.
And so the ugly I have is the handling of personnel from Kirk Cousins to, because I feel as if you'd get off better if you gave him a decent 4 to 5 year deal for less money than you've been paying him for the franchise tag than doing this yearly franchise thing, you know, and just kind of, to me, jerking him around a little bit. I feel like you committed to Kirk when you let RG3 go. You know what I mean?
Absolutely.
And so then commit to him. Yeah. Don't play the game, right? And then you look at the way that they handled the wide receiver situation. I mean, you let Garcon go and Jackson go. Yeah. Let's not have revisionist history all of a sudden say, Dotson's our guy. He wasn't to start this season.
Right,
Terrell Pryor was. Yeah. You mean to tell me you let Garcon go and Jackson go for a guy who 3 years ago was playing quarterback for the Raiders?
Yeah.
You know what I mean? Who's the backup quarterback for the Raiders, and they convert him to a wide receiver. And now he has 1,000 yards in Cleveland because he's the only person on the team worth throwing the ball to.
But it's Cleveland.
And that's the thing. It's like he's the only one anyone can throw the ball to, and now all of a sudden he's going to be a number one target. Like, that is mind-blowing to me. You at least bring one of those guys back to help with the young guys, right?
Yeah, yeah.
And then you got Jamison Crowder there. What? We're just going to overlook him. You bring Pryor in, who, and then you get Dotson, and he's just third option. Like, the handling of the personnel just baffles me, right? And then I don't know was Jordan Reed hurt yesterday? I mean, he didn't play.
Yeah. Hamstring.
But one great personnel move, Vernon Davis.
Yeah.
He has paid dividends this year.
Hey, man, the old veterans, man, he still has something in the tank, right?
Grizzly vet.
Exactly. Yeah.
Well, you know, it was a thing where it had to be a money thing for Vernon. I mean, coming home is an opportunity. You know, I'll take a little bit less to come home, right? And he's the He's the classic tight end, right? Mm-hmm. You know, block first.
Block
first. And good hands, right? Steady performer, runs good routes. Kirk can depend on him. We can depend on him. We just don't want him to rely on him, right? That's not your first. You know, go get. Gamble a little bit, Kirk. I don't know if you know, I don't know your personal your business. I don't know if you had the MGM after the game and all that, right? But you got to gamble sometimes.
Gamble a little bit.
Yeah, you're right. I agree with you, good, bad, and the ugly, right? You know,
yeah, it makes.
And you know, when you add it all up, all three of us gave good, sound opinions. Mm-hmm. It all adds up to 4-4.
4-4. Here we go.
Right back where we were about a year ago.
Exactly. 4-4 with, 8 games coming up left in the season. We're going to take a look at the Minnesota game coming up next week. And also, we're going to do what we always do on the show, what always happens here in Washington. We're going to look far ahead in the schedule and mark out wins and losses and see if we can come up with some equation to make the playoffs. That's coming up next on the Federal Football Report.
A large jet burns about 1 gallon of fossil fuel every second, so engineers are looking toward renewable sources, including crops. As plants grow, they scrub carbon dioxide from the air. Vijay Singh, an engineer at the University of Illinois, thinks an added environmental benefit would be harvesting them to make airplane fuel.
If we can engineer sugarcane so that rather than producing sugar, it can produce oil, then we can produce large quantities of oil per unit of land.
Singh's lab already has plants making impressive amounts of oil. He says while it would currently cost more than fossil fuel oil, prices could be reduced through further genetic engineering to improve the sugarcane's growth and oil production. What's more,
the residue after you recover the oil can be used for producing electricity and steam, which powers the refinery that is used to produce this biojet fuel.
Singh says plant fuel might one day be used in automobiles too. With the National Academy of Engineering, Randy Atkins, Federal News Radio, 1500 AM.
FederalNewsRadio.com and 1500 AM, dedicated to news for and about the federal government and government contractors.
It's the final segment in the most positive, uplifting episode of the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio, 1500 AM, the website FederalNewsRadio.com. I'm Claude. He's Kevin. We've got Seth in studio with us as well. Let's take a look at this game coming up. Minnesota coming to town. Skins 4-4 after a very dramatic win in Seattle where Kirk proved that he is Captain Kirk.
That's
once
right.
And for all.
Allegedly.
Right. Keys to victory when Minnesota comes to town. Kevin.
Minnesota's a hard team to get a hold of because they were rolling along, and Sam Bradford seemed to be reborn in Minnesota, had a great early season.
Until he wasn't.
He became Sam Bradford again. I don't even know who's quarterback in Minnesota now.
I don't
Case
know.
Keenum,
gonna,
I believe.
Oh,
is starting.
Yeah. Wow.
Case Keenum, late of the Houston Texans when they decided that
formerly the University of Houston, right?
I don't know, but he's been effective. And they also lost a great rookie running back after they got rid of Adrian Peterson.
Yeah, Dalvin Cook, yep.
Yep, he got hurt, but they're tugging right along. And with the fortuitous for them, injury to Aaron Rodgers, they sit at the top of the NFC Central, right? So it's going to be a hard game. They got decent receivers, good tight end.
Really good defense.
Stephon Diggs, right, mm-hmm. has really blossomed, become a quality NFL receiver. Has always had a good defense, even from the days of the Purple People Leader. So I'm very hopeful. It's a game at home. Hopefully not a lot of Minnesota fans in this area. And we won't see a lot of purple in the stands.
Yeah, no. We'll see. Seth, keys to victory.
I think for the Redskins, we got to throw the ball more mm-hmm. over the top, not just the little check down stuff. I think you got to get Chris Thompson more involved. I know he's smaller, but just run him. Just mm-hmm. run him. Do like they did Dallas did Murray a few years ago. Just keep running.
Give him the ball 40 times a game. Okay.
Yeah, just burn him out.
right. Yeah,
he might have something to say about that. But
just sound defense. I think Hall's going to show that his age next, so I'm kind of scared of that mm-hmm. at safety. But I think if we follow the scheme on defense and we keep it close, I think we can get it. I think we can get the win.
Yeah, I think you got to continue to do what you've been doing on defense that's rendered success so far this season. You know what mm-hmm. I mean? Like, don't switch nothing up on defense. Keep that going. And I think on offense, like you said, you've got to take some chances. Take a few chances.
Absolutely.
So here's what I want to do. I want to go down the list of the upcoming games, and you guys give me just a quick W or L, whether you think it's a win or a loss. So Minnesota, Kevin, win or loss?
Win.
Seth?
Win.
All right. New Orleans, at New Orleans. Kevin, win.
Loss.
Okay. Seth?
Loss.
Okay. So
New
far
Orleans
we're
at, playing pretty well.
Right now we're at 5-5.
Yeah.
So,
how about that?
Thanksgiving night, Giants in Washington. Kevin?
Loss.
Okay. Seth?
Loss.
Wow. Okay.
Prime time.
Wait a minute. You got to figure out. You got to ask why we say that, right?
Yeah, well, why? Why would they lose to the Giants who haven't seemed to be able to put.
Because the Giants, they're like the medicine for the Giants, man. We're good for what ails them, right? You know? Yeah. If, you know what?
You just
they get that Giants monkey off their back. There's no telling what might happen, but I'm going to change my answer. Win.
Okay, we got to win. What do you seal the loss, Seth? Or?
Prime time Thanksgiving, I'm going to be talking way too much trash leading up to the game. There's no way I'm going to be able to enjoy Thursday or Friday off work. Loss.
Okay, there we go.
Man, they're the late Thanksgiving game, too. After you had all the turkey and
everybody,
stuff.
Everybody, you all full and comfortable.
You know, you fall asleep and wake up and the game's got 5 minutes.
Had an opportunity to actually go to the game and say, you know what, no thank you. I'm good. I'll stay home. It's not a big deal. At Dallas.
At Dallas?
Mm-hmm.
Loss.
Maybe
loss.
Zeke, maybe not. But then you still got Morris.
Yeah. And then Dak doesn't seem like he's letting up, Dak, right? Yeah. You know, you saw what he did to Kansas City. Yes. By the way. Hats off to Cole Beasley for the Michael Jackson invitation.
Yeah, that was good, right? Yeah, during that game, I get a text from Kevin. Did you see the Michael Jackson?
Yeah, I got to give him that. That was classy. Very classy. It's going to be a loss anyway.
I'm going to say win. I think Dallas are going to be streaking in, and we always seem to beat them when y'all at y'all best.
There you go.
Notice he said y'all, man. I don't know what he's talking about.
They're talking about all those Cowboy fans out there.
All the way out there. Yeah, Cowboy land, right?
At the Chargers, Kevin.
At the Chargers, win. At the Chargers, win. Because the Chargers will do something stupid, like, you know, throw the ball on, you know, 3rd and 1 from the goal line, like they did when they were here last time, right?
Yeah, that's totally a win. Ridiculous. Philip Rivers is an emotional wreck. He's all over the place, isn't he?
Who knows? Yeah, you know.
I love his energy, though, but sometimes it's just too much.
Yeah, and he's just dealing with, he's playing with so little out there. You know, it's just, that's a win.
Seth, Chargers.
I'm going to say loss. We're going to be riding too high off the Cowboy win. And
so that's based off the projection
good time
of the
for
win.
A letdown.
Okay. In Washington, the Cardinals coming to town.
Oh, and that's a win. That's a win. Although Adrian Peterson might find his, he might find his second win, his second life. I mean, he did pretty well yesterday. I believe he got $150 yesterday, right?
Yeah.
Injuries would be back. By this time, the defense would have really found themselves and made a name for themselves. That's a win.
Okay. Seth?
I'm going to say a win.
All right. Okay. We've got Denver coming to town.
Denver, that's an automatic win.
Bye week.
Really, what's going on? Who's playing quarterback for Denver?
Brock now? Osweiler
the
is.
The famous Brock Osweiler.
Again, I told you, the quarterback play this week was so bad.
The one who's single-handedly destroyed the salary structure for the quarterbacks in the NFL? Brock Osweiler?
Millions and millions of dollars to be a bad quarterback on multiple teams. Boy.
And why we can't get none of that money? I don't understand it.
Crazy. And then finally, close the seat. Oh, I'm sorry. Seth. He said bye week.
Okay, yeah. I want to hear it again. All right,
And then you've got the Giants in New York to finish.
Imagine. All you got to do is beat the Giants for the last game of the season. The Giants are already out of it.
If that actually
got
happened.
Got nothing to play for.
Uh-huh.
You know,
happened
imagine
last
that.
Year, even though the Giants win, they had nothing to play
that.
For.
Imagine that. Could they possibly let that happen twice in a row? the game that will define Captain Kirk and his future.
That's true.
That's right. You know, that's. I'm going to say it's a win because I don't know what the odds makers say. It can't happen twice in a row.
Right. So you're going to say it's a win?
It's a win for illegitimate reasons.
Sad.
I'm going to say a loss.
Okay.
Because it can't happen twice.
It's so going to happen.
4-4, it looks like Kevin has them with 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 more wins.
That's
so
right.
You've got them at 10-6.
That big 10-6, yeah.
Seth has them with 1, 2, 3, 4 more wins. You've got them at 8-8. Yep. 10-6, 8-8. Okay, we'll see. We'll see how it all pans out.
What you got?
I'll go in the middle. I'll go 9-7.
I'll throw a tie in there and we'll call it a winning season.
Well,
like
let's see. But you know what? I didn't go through it. Let's see.
9-7.
We've got Minnesota. I've got Minnesota as a win. I got the Saints as a loss. I've got the Giants as a win. I've got Dallas as a loss. I've got the Chargers as a loss. I've got the Cardinals as a win. I've got Denver as a win and the Giants as a loss.
That's 400. That's 500.
Yeah, that's 8-7. I'm right with you.
Right down Camilla right there, brother. Right.
Exactly. We're going to keep right down the line. I would call it the good old Jason Garrett.
That's right.
By the way, before we close out, what was the best fight from this weekend? There were so many fights. Like, I was just watching a highlight of AJ Green basically was that Janoris Jenkins? Who was the Jaguars cornerback? In a headlock and like slammed him to the ground. After he pushed him to the, there were so many fights this weekend. Yeah. You guys were telling me about the
the Jameis Winston poking the corner in the back of the neck after it was after pick six, I believe, after something. It's just stupid, man.
You unbelievable.
Know yeah, it's like, odd. Where are these guys going? I mean, it was
it's better fights in the NFL than that heavyweight fight this weekend.
Yeah, really.
Yeah, it was that Deontay Wilder, right?
Yeah,
I didn't even get a chance to see it, but from all the social media reviews, it was all bad. Yeah. Speaking of social media reviews, we're getting tons of great social media reviews at FF Rep, at Stanfield Kevin, at Claude J. Rennie.
Not because of our fighting, either.
No, not because it's all love around here, man. Right. It's all love. International love on the Federal Football Report. We're trying to get another win next week when the Vikings come to town. Come get some, Minnesota. Come get some. It's the Federal Football Report on Federal News Radio.